And good morning, everybody. Welcome to At Your Service. I'm your host, Alan Carpenter. Good to have in the studio with me for the first time ever, Matt Wirtle from VNet. So good to have you here. And we were talking before we went on the air. I think anybody who drives around downtown Erie sees your building now, which looks great.
Thank you.
But a lot of us are saying, okay, what's going on in there? So over the course of hopefully several conversations, we'll find out what's going on there. But give us just a quick sort of executive summary as to what VNet is doing in that gorgeous building.
So VNet, we've been we're actually celebrating our 30th anniversary this year in 2020. So been in the community for 30 years. Our CEO, Joel Duderman, founded the company out of his East 6th Street flat in 1990.
Basically, an eerie story. I love it.
Basically, and he's a transplant. He's not from the Erie area. He's from the Carolinas. So came to Erie, saw a need, started building computers back in the day when you actually built your own computer. We've transitioned in the last 30 years, and now we're primarily focused on supporting the commercial IT or enterprise IT for entities throughout not only the Erie region, but in the entire country. So things like workstations, antivirus security is a big hot thing now. So how do you prevent your organization from getting ransomware or your data getting stolen? We also do internet service, which we were talking about. So fiber internet service for commercial businesses, and now we're also doing that on the residential side as well with our VNet Fiber team. So
we're all chomping at the bit.
Everybody's chomping at the bit for getting it, and we have some pretty aggressive expansion plans in 2020. So we really tell customers, contact us. Whatever your technology needs are, we really sit and work with those individuals to understand what their goals are as an organization, and then apply technology to meet those goals. Because it could be different for the bank down the street than it is the small nonprofit. They both need technology, but they're going to use it in very different ways. And obviously, as a company our size, which we now are, over 75 employees in that building, and a lot of stuff happening. 24/7 operation. We can support them if they're small or they're large.
Yeah, and what we're going to talk about today is stuff that, it's going to be useful certainly for people who are small business owners or running a business, but a lot of this stuff even applies to just people at home, anybody who gets on the net, basically.
Right, absolutely. So our goal is, we're going to be doing this program once a month throughout the course of 2020, and really we're going to be focusing on, like you said, Alan, things that can impact an organization. So kind of some thought-provoking ideas to make you think or ask some questions when you talk to your IT provider or even talk to your team at your organization or even as an individual, because technology is surrounding us all the time. We all have some smart device either on our wrist or in our pocket.
Yep.
We wake up to Alexa or Google to ask what's the weather or what's on iHeartRadio today.
Sure.
So, and all those things are changing, and I don't think a lot of us really understand some of the pitfalls or some of the things that we might need to be doing to protect ourselves on a daily basis to prevent the bad guys from getting in. So,
absolutely. And I think people who maybe are a little bit older, they can make two mistakes. They can be overly cautious and, I'm not going to shop online. I know those people. Right. Or they cannot take seriously the fact that somebody in Ukraine might be trying to hack you. Somebody in Singapore, somebody in Turkey. These things are real.
Right.
And they happen to just everyday people.
And it's getting, as the technology continues to improve, it's easier and easier for them to kind of impersonate somebody and become somebody that you may trust. It may be your boss, it may be your nephew, maybe your husband or wife.
Sure.
That they have impersonated them in a way that now they are able to take advantage of that vulnerability and either take money, property, or otherwise, or somehow impact your life in a negative way.
And so get that sensitive information. Once they gain your trust, it's
right.
Yeah, it's very dangerous. Well, we're talking about technology resolutions to start 2020. Number one is something that I think most of us do a very inadequate job with, and it's a shame because there are technologies out there now to make this very easy to do, and that's manage and have strong passwords.
Right. So I'm terrible at managing passwords. My my wife will tell you that, you know,
I'm 1, 2, 3, 4 ABC. Well,
I'm fine at developing strong passwords, but I'm terrible at remembering them. So it might be, you know, what's the Netflix password, or hey, what's the password to Disney Plus? And I don't remember. You know, we have a 2-year-old son running around. I have no idea what my password is. So I'm one of those that often is clicking the forgot password to change my password, which is actually probably not a bad thing, because now I'm changing my password every 3 days, which I shouldn't be.
So but it's very fresh.
It's very fresh. It's a better password every 3 days. So really what we advise, you know, individuals and clients to do is, one, develop a strong password. So yes, password should not be your password. I was reading the other day that, you know, when Kanye West was in the White House and was unlocking his iPhone, it was just 6 zeros to unlock his iPhone, because obviously there's cameras looking at it.
Really?
So yeah, don't use 6 zeros, you know, those sorts of things. But there is, you know, with technology now, there's applications like LastPass, you know, Google, you know, other applications have password management, so you can create.
iCloud does.
iCloud, right. So you've got, you're on your iPhone. But one of the interesting things that some of the folks were talking about with LastPass, even at our office, is, let's say, you know, you've got an elderly parent that needs passwords. Well, let's say they get sick, or they're unable to communicate what their password is for their online banking. With a program like a LastPass, you can create a family and share access. So, you know, I could share access with my wife, you know, my mother or father could share access with me. So in the event that something were happen and I need their passwords, you know, maybe they didn't set up their reminder link properly, or their email address properly. So those sorts of things sometimes, yes, they cost money and they're an additional expense, but sometimes they give you the peace of mind knowing that if something were to happen, I have access to the passwords, and now I'm only having to remember one, and I can track them, you know, so I can put all of my online passwords in one place and have a strong password to get in there. So now I'm not having to remember 50 different passwords across the internet. Yeah. So
I think if there's one thing for the people who have been online for a while, if there's one sort of new technology to learn, if they don't use like LastPass or iCloud or a password keeping, you know, vault,
right,
I think that's the one best thing to learn right now, wouldn't it be?
Right. That's the biggest thing, is make sure your passwords are secure. On the organizational side, so on the business side or small business side, we find a lot of organizations don't change their passwords, which is a huge security no-no. Individuals, yes, you should change your passwords, especially if, you know, if you see there's a security breach, hey, Target got hacked, Kohl's got hacked, whoever got hacked, you need to go on and immediately change your password.
Yeah. That's important to remember.
That's very important to remember. And sometimes people aren't following news, but it's one of those things to get into that habit. And as the beginning of the new year, it might be, hey, just take stock of what passwords you have. You know, much like people look at their credit report, hey, what credit cards do I have? You know, okay, what systems and services am I using? One, should I have them? And two, am I paying for something I'm not using?
Right.
And then two, hey, should I be changing the passwords? You know, oh yeah, I gave that password out to Uncle Jimmy. Hey, maybe I need to, you know, change it, because, you know, I don't really like Uncle Jimmy anymore.
Yeah.
So making sure, because if Uncle Jimmy gets hacked, now you're going to get hacked.
Right.
So, you know, it's trust but verify. So going through and making sure that you're kind of keeping your, you know, your digital house in order.
Right. I never did care for Uncle Jimmy, frankly. So that's a good thing. No, the number two resolution for 2020, and this is a big one too, securing your devices. I don't know how many people I know that don't use a digital code.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they don't have, you know, fingerprint or face recognition, but you got to use that code.
Yeah. It's one of those things that it is, I was trying to look up a statistic and I couldn't find a really good one. But really, if you have a mobile phone or any sort of mobile device, you need to have a PIN code on it. Just from the standpoint of, if you leave it on, you know, if you're at Starbucks and you leave it to go get a sugar packet or something, and you don't have a PIN code, there's no, somebody can just log onto it real quick and set it back down, and who knows what they've gotten access to. So that's really the first thing, is make sure you have a PIN code on any of those mobile devices, be it a tablet, be it a smartphone. You know, and then also the biggest thing that we see is kind of the largest trend is two-factor authentication. And, and most people think it's annoying. And yes, security becomes more annoying because you have to take an extra step to actually keep secure. So two-factor authentication would be, let's say for online banking, they send you a text message, you got to type in a code. And that way it's verifying that it's you. If you don't have two-factor, if somebody steals your password, now they can just log on just as just like you. And, you know, clear out your bank account, you know, delete all your emails. The biggest trend now, though, is they're not really doing that immediately. They're kind of watching behavior, and they're going to wait until they see you go on a vacation, until they see some sort of vulnerable event that's upcoming, and then they're going to act. And at that time, usually you're vulnerable because you're not around your computer, you're not in the area, and that's going to be a real problem for you. So especially enterprises, commercial mm-hmm. or small business, two-factor on your email is critical. Because if you have a smartphone and you're not locking your smartphone, which is no-no number one.
Yes.
But if you're not using a two-factor, somebody can just come grab your phone and scan through your corporate email. Do you really want somebody to go through your corporate email, see all your sales data, see all your contacts, and maybe send an email on your behalf to mm-hmm. one of your biggest customers? Absolutely not. And then right. that's a problem on your side to try to deal with the fallout of if somebody gets unauthorized access to your system. So that's a big thing. And then also, data encryption is another thing that's kind of becoming more and more prevalent. So encrypting the data on your laptop, encrypting the data on your devices. So in the event of these, kind of stopgaps or these different layers of security don't work, if somebody gets an encrypted hard drive, they're not able to get the data off of it.
Right.
It's much more difficult. So we're really working on, and a lot of these resolutions are creating different layers of security. You want as many as you can afford, as many as, kind of don't prohibit the functionality of your systems. But they're all best practices and all something you should really look into.
I think of the two-factor sometimes as like a seatbelt. Because
right.
there was an era when they put seatbelts in cars and the cars started telling you to wear it. And some of the people who've been driving for decades said,
right.
This is terrible. I hate this. Now it's just second nature.
Exactly.
I think it'll be second nature to us in a couple years.
Exactly. And there's so many applications. So, we joke at work, at the office, we all have, Google Authenticator, Microsoft Authenticator, much different authenticator apps. At every service or system that we have to log into at our office requires two-factor.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Sure.
It's just standard. So yes, sometimes it's annoying. Sometimes, hey, I don't have my phone with me, so I can't get the second factor to log into my bank. But that 10 seconds of inconvenience is much better than the, tens of hours that you would be spending on the phone if somebody clears out your bank account.
Most definitely. Number three, backup and disaster planning. I am still amazed at the people who have all their pictures or all their stuff, just individuals, and it's all on a hard drive somewhere. And not a secondary hard drive, but their main hard drive.
Right. And it's, I'll give you kind of a quick example. So my wife got a new iPhone, and luckily with Apple, they have new, they turn the backup on mm-hmm. immediately now, whereas before, they used to not to. So
yes.
Thank you, Apple, for actually doing that. She works at an organization that requires two-factor authentication. Our son, small toddler, was using the facial recognition. After 10 times or 5 times, her phone wiped. So there goes her phone. So luckily, thankfully, the backup was enabled. And, you can get your phone back up and running in a mm-hmm. matter of, a couple minutes once everything can kind of re-download. So, but without having that service turned on, all those pictures and all those, service, all those apps she had downloaded would have been gone. So, that's kind of a personal example. But on a professional, on a business side, we run into lots of businesses that say, well, I don't need a backup because, we live in Erie. There's no disaster it's going to strike. But we've had customers that are in a building like this one. Okay, there's a water leak upstairs, and all that water goes mm-hmm. into your IT closet and destroys all of your servers and data. That's not a natural disaster. That's a different type of disaster. The other types of the disasters are, hey, if, Alan's disgruntled and wants to delete everybody's files, if you don't have a backup of those files, Alan just deleted all those files and walked out the door, and now you're left
walked
with no
out
data.
Laughing, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So we really recommend kind of the 3-to-1 strategy. So having your data in three different places. So a local device, so let's say your computer,
mm-hmm.
a local copy, which could be, at an organization, could be an external hard drive or another backup device. And then with the advances in internet technology now, it's really easy to have a cloud backup. So,
it's so simple now.
Right. With iCloud, on your iPhone, or with different services like Carbonite, or we offer a whole bunch of different services on the enterprise side, or even like Google Photos is what mm-hmm. I use to back up all of our photos. Those sorts of things. Now you've got the backup somewhere else offsite. So if those two devices that are local fail for whatever reason, your building burns down, there's a snowstorm and you can't get to your building or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Erie, really, Matt?
Yeah,
come on.
Well, not right now, Alan, but it's coming. It's coming.
Right? Yes, it is, sir.
So at least that way you have access to your data. And then the other key thing that we see a lot of people say, I have a backup. I've got this thumb drive that I put in my purse or take home or what have you, which we don't recommend.
Right. For obvious reasons.
Because if somebody might steal it and it's not encrypted. But you need to test. Just like when we went to school and you had fire drills. So they tested and they had a fire drill to make sure all the kids got out. What's the timing? How can those sorts of things happen? The same sort of thing with your backups. You need to make sure that they're actually working, because we have seen dozens and dozens of clients that say, I have a backup. It's over there. It's plugged in. Well, it's been plugged in for 5 years, but it hasn't worked in a year. So now server dies, workstation dies, you know, whatever disaster happens. And now they're a year without a year's worth of files. How much time does it take to rebuild a year's worth of files?
Sure.
And for a lot of businesses, when you have a failure of that instance, it usually means within 6 months or a year, they're usually going out of business because they can't recover from the disaster of losing all that data, because that's the most critical and most important thing is their data. So making sure that you have, you know, the strategy of having it in multiple places on multiple devices, one being the cloud, and then also making sure that you're testing it and verifying that it works. To use, you know, Ronald Reagan's trust but verify.
Trust but verify.
You got to trust it, and then you got to verify it. So even if you have an IT provider, even if you have a person locally on staff, you have to have those mechanics and those measurements in place to say, okay, it's actually working. I trust you, but I have to have to be able to verify that it's actually going to work in a time of need.
I mean, hey, you trust your smoke alarm, right?
Right.
And you test it and you trust it after that. That's the same thing.
And when the battery is saying it's low, you got to replace it. The same sort of thing. Like, if there's a battery going or an alarm going off in your IT closet, don't ignore it. You probably need to look at it.
Luckily, my cooking doesn't set off the IT alarm, but that's probably a good thing. The next one is interesting because we dealt with this here when iHeart came in and they brought us, you know, this great new software and great new music software and programming software. But we needed to get rid of legacy technology.
Right.
And it's amazing how many of those old machines are still out there. And a lot of them not even updated to the newest operating system.
Right. So Windows 7 has kind of been the flagship operating system from Microsoft. And it just entered end of support this week. So actually yesterday.
Yesterday.
So if you're running a Windows 7 machine, basically what that means is that Microsoft has stopped providing support patches and updates to that device. So if you're in an industry like financial services or healthcare or any of those industries, or you deal with anything that has a specific compliance requirement, you are now out of compliance. So we have been spending basically all of this year and even prior years kind of upgrading everybody's devices to Windows 10, which is now compliant. So now it's time to either upgrade to a Windows 10 device or Microsoft, because there's millions of these computers throughout the world and not everybody was able to meet the deadline. They now have the capability of you buying an extended support license for either 1, 2, or 3 years. So we're working with some clients that couldn't meet the deadline to, buy the extended support license. So now you're compliant, you can get the patches, because that biggest thing is not having the patches for Microsoft. You know, Russian hacker finds a new exploit.
Absolutely.
They're going to exploit that gaping hole, and they're going to take advantage of that because your systems aren't patched. So it's really time to look at the beginning of the year, look at, what technology is legacy? Obviously, the advances in technology now, computers are much faster than they were 5 or 7 years ago. We have hard drives that are much faster, you know, solid state drives. Everything is faster. So we have seen, you know, a lot of companies say, I don't want to upgrade my computers because why? There's no reason to. I'm just using Word or Excel or PowerPoint. Well, it takes them 5 minutes to maybe load their existing workstation. Well, when they get the new one, it's up and running in 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's productivity. You know,
that's productivity. That drops to the bottom line for an investment in a computer, which isn't a huge investment. So sometimes, you know, doing that math and showing people the understanding of, hey, it's there's going to be a defined benefit to it. We might not be able to quantify it immediately. But, you know, some examples, we had a law firm that we did an upgrade for. This was years ago, that had legacy hardware. And the gentleman said, I used to come in the morning, turn on my computer, go get my cup of coffee, talk to my, paralegals before my computer would turn on so I could start working. I mean, it was like a 15-minute
that
process.
That was the routine.
That was the routine. He's like, you put this new computer in and I turn it on and I can start immediately.
When am I supposed to get my coffee?
Right. I can now start working immediately when I turn it on. So for them, in an organization or an industry like legal, where billable hours, mean money, time is money, It turned into a huge, you know, efficiency for them.
Absolutely.
And we've seen the same with other, you know, organizations. And even personally, if you start seeing your computer running slow, or yes, there's some things you can do to make it faster. You can add some RAM and you can do some different things. But with the cost of technology now being what it is, sometimes it's just like when your TV starts getting a line in it.
You just get a new one.
Just go get a new one. Yes, unfortunately, we're in that society where it's just get rid of the old and get with the new. But it's one of those things that if you get a new computer, you're going to see an advanced benefit more so than you probably realize.
Definitely. In our last 5 minutes, let's talk about the final resolution, which is training and awareness. I mean, at least like working here, you know, we really had to hit the ground running, but we had to be trained on all this new all this new technology. Once we got it going, it was great. But if you don't adequately train people, you're just asking for trouble.
And that's really, you know, humans are the biggest challenge when it comes to technology and it comes to security, because everybody wants to click on the link. They want to download the photo. They want to share the video. They want to do all of these things. And we're just trained to be just instantly do that.
Yes.
So we're seeing a huge uptick in security and awareness training, and something that we offer at VNet is to really, one, survey the users and then actually test them to see, okay, is Alan the guy in the organization that clicks on every, you know, cat video, some of which are real,
and some of them.
Some of which are, you know, from our spoofed videos from the Ukrainians or Russians. So really creating a baseline to say, you know, what's the technical awareness and the kind of the technology literacy score of my team, because it affects your bottom line. Because if somebody hacks into you and somebody can steal data or steal funds, you know, there's a defined benefit to actually having the training. So a good example would be, you know, let's say, Alan, you got a gold bar and you have it in your house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you going to set that gold bar on your kitchen table and just leave it there? Answer to that is no.
Right.
You're going to lock your door. You're probably going to have a deadbolt.
Mm-hmm.
You probably would put it in a safe. And then you might even have a security system. So you have multiple layers of security to protect that gold bar.
Or even take it off-site.
Take it off-site, exactly. So, yeah, you might put it in a safety deposit box. So people have to start thinking of security in their business, or even security at home, kind of the same way as they think of their protecting their valuables. Unfortunately, we don't equate those things because we don't understand the value of our data.
Yeah, we're still very tactile. It's
right,
like, you
exactly.
know, if you can touch it, it seems like it's worth something.
Exactly. So, you know, your data is your most expensive and your most, has the most worth in an organization, or even personally. If somebody steals your tax data, and that's one of the things, you know, it's tax time. You know, we talk about training and awareness. All the hackers are going to focus on trying to send you fake W-2s and try to send you fake links to fill out your Social Security information. So it's really understanding, you know, and kind of being patient and not always kind of trusting, like going back to the trust and verify, take a second and look at it and say, is this really where it's supposed to go? And don't necessarily click on all the links. And if you have a question, if you've got something from, you know, a PNC bank or financial institution of the IRS, go on their website and check and see if they've actually sent it. And make sure you go to the IRS website or the PNC Bank website, because that's one of the things that happens too, is they'll spoof those websites.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need to slow down and understand what you're doing. Otherwise, you're going to make yourself vulnerable for a hacker to come in. So
yeah, put that URL in there. Don't let it just, you know, if it, the suggestion might be the spoof.
Right, exactly. And we've seen that where, you know, tax forms, for example, and even happened you know, to one of the individuals in our organization. They were trying to fill out a Pennsylvania tax form, and the second link down was a spoofed link. So you have to take some time and some measure. And luckily with technology now, there's services, especially on the enterprise side, that we can put in place that help mitigate that. So block out a lot of the fakes, or we scan all of the links and make sure, hey, this is a good link, or hey, this is a bad link, so we're not going to even let this email come through. So there's a lot of technology that you can deploy that's, you know, really cost effective to make sure that you're not, you know, kind of succumb to kind of those threats that are out there. And they're evolving every day. So what we're blocking today, there's something new that's coming out, you know, in 5 minutes from now that we're going to have to be aware. So like I said, just making sure that you're training your folks and you're continuing to train them, because, you know, the battle never stops. It's a continuous battle. because the hackers are always going to be trying to find the easiest way to come into your systems.
For sure. Matt, thank you so much. If people want to get in touch with VNet, because you guys obviously know your stuff, how do they do so?
They can go to our website, which is vnet.us, or they can give us a call at 814-833-9111, and we'll be posting more of this information on our website and having a newsletter to talk about it as well.
Awesome. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks so much, Alan. Have a great day.
Stay tuned.